These dealerships are priced to move.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. Today, a bankruptcy judge will decide whether Chrysler can terminate almost 800 of its dealers. The dealers say that would be a mistake. Congress is also looking into this issue at a hearing in Washington this afternoon. And Tamara Keith has our story.
The Senate Commerce Committee is scheduled to hear from Chrysler's president and GM CEO. Canceling franchises at dealerships that haven't performed well is a key part of both companies' restructuring plans. But dealership owners say keeping their businesses open won't cost the automakers anything, and closing them down will cause suffering and job loss in communities all over the country. The chairman of the National Automobile Dealers Association will tell senators the process needs more transparency and accountability. The Chrysler dealers, who were told they must close by next week, want more time to wind down their operations. GM has told 1,100 dealerships it will not renew their franchise agreements next year. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Meanwhile, a federal court last night agreed to hear an appeal that would block the sale of Chrysler to Fiat. A group of Indiana pension funds is challenging the sale. They say it comes at the expense of secured debt holders. Arguments are set to begin Friday. Yesterday, the S&P 500 rose slightly. The Dow gained 19 points to 8,740. Asian markets gained up to 1% today. Australia's economy actually grew unexpectedly last quarter, one of the few major economies not in a recession. European markets are down about 1% this morning. London is off almost twice that much. Britain holds elections tomorrow, and the prime minister could be in jeopardy thanks to the economy and a political scandal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies, online at trustedchoice.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
President Obama met with Democratic senators yesterday to talk about how to pay for health care reform. One way would be to tax the health care benefit you get from your employer. In the presidential campaign, Obama ruled that out, but senators say the president has put it back on the table. Another way to pay for reform is through cost savings. Industry representatives say they're looking for those savings. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports on a cost-cutting idea Thoreau would have approved of. Simplify, simplify.
Right now, if you're a doctor, chances are you accept at least 12 different types of insurance. And each insurer has its own separate billing system, forms, codes, and red tape. Lots of doctors hire full-time business managers who do nothing but navigate these systems and try to make sure doctors get paid. Robert Zirkelbach is with the lobbying group America's Health Insurance Plans.
There's a real opportunity to save hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 10 years.
Just by simplifying billing for doctors. So this summer, the insurance industry is testing a new online service that lets doctors go to one website and file one set of standardized forms. But Senator Charles Grassley is skeptical that these kinds of ideas are going to solve the healthcare crisis.
They're probably being made in good faith, and there probably can be some savings made.
But Grassley says penny pinching probably won't provide enough new money to cover the uninsured. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
The American healthcare system gets compared and contrasted a lot to Canada's, both favorably and unfavorably. Joining us now is Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus. David, you wrote about a Canadian woman who unfortunately was forced to deal with both healthcare systems.
Well, the story of Maggie Yount, that's her name, is remarkable for a number of reasons, not least of which because on Thanksgiving weekend in 2007, she's driving along a Nova Scotia highway and is hit head-on by a drunk driver. She ends up in the emergency room and then goes through 3 months of rehab. And when I asked her, my goodness, how much did that cost? She says, I don't know. I never asked. And I asked who paid. She says, well, the government of Canada. And that's the single-payer system in Canada right there. Well, now flash forward. Ms. Yount marries an American, moves to Southern California, and Maggie Yount has to find her own coverage in the individual insurance market and is rejected because she has a quote-unquote pre-existing condition. In other words, the brain injury and all those fractured bones from that first accident. And so you have the Canadian system where she was covered and the American system which won't let her in.
But the Obama administration has already ruled out one of those alternatives, no Canadian-style single-payer system, right?
They've taken the single-payer off the table. On the other hand, they've offered sort of a hybrid of a public program that would compete to some extent, we don't know how much, with the private plans, the idea there being it would keep costs down through a little bit of healthy competition, unclear how that's going to work. It seems to me that ultimately Obama's on the right track, that a hybrid of these two ways, the private sector and the public sector, that seems to be the answer, because when you look at what Canada and Britain and Australia and Japan have, and you look at what we have, well, nobody's got it quite right.
These competing reform proposals are pinging around right now this week in Washington. What do you expect?
Well, I was speaking with members of the health insurance industry the other day. They say they're going to be turning up the heat on the Obama administration over the proposed public plan that would compete with them. They're going to try and fight this all the way down the line. The real question is what they're going to offer in return. They've already offered a couple of nice little things. For instance, no longer excluding people for pre-existing conditions like Maggie Yount and no longer charging sick people more. These are big steps forward for the health insurance industry, which doesn't like to part with any money. I think if they're going to get that public plan off the table, though, they're going to have to offer even more.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, thank you.
A pleasure.
Finally, if you tip a Starbucks barista, should that barista have to share your generosity with his or her supervisor? Last year, a San Diego judge said no. In California, tips belong to the lower-level workers who serve you. That judge ordered Starbucks to pay its baristas back $100 million. But yesterday, an appeals court reversed that ruling. The court decided supervisors are baristas too. They make coffee, they take orders, and they're entitled to split your tip. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.